It's been an important week in national politics for both parties. For an expert look at both the events and their likely implications, I'm joined in the studio by Greg LaBelle, who teaches political management at George Washington University. Greg, welcome back to State of Belief Radio.
Thanks, Welton. What do you want to talk about?
A lot of attention is on the respective parties' convention platforms. How important are those platforms?
They are important from today until the end of the second convention, and then no one will ever talk about them again. These are political events, and we're watching the sort of give and take here between the Sanders people and the Clinton people, which seems to have worked out fairly well with some compromises and so forth. And then we see the struggle between the Trumpistas and the traditional Republicans and sort of trying to figure out what their platform is going to look like. They seem to have most things in place. There are some interesting things in there. But the truth is we are not a parliamentary democracy. Once these things are over, these platforms sort of fall by the boards. And that happens anyway without a Trump at the head of one of the tickets.
Okay. Bernie Sanders has now endorsed Hillary Clinton.
Yep.
How big a deal is that in this moment in the election cycle?
It's important. It's important because of the nature of, I think, the Sanders candidacy. There were a lot of people, including led by Sanders, who weren't willing to let go of this. It had to happen. I think every one of us knew it would. The fact that it happened before the convention is probably the most important aspect of this, because now Clinton goes into the convention with basically her ducks in a row. The deals have been cut in terms of the platform, but also in terms of who's going to be speaking and so on and so forth. So that's a done deal, much like what we went through in 2008 with Clinton and Obama. So things are in place where the Clinton people would like them to be right now.
I noticed that Senator Sanders took your advice as he left the race, promising to form several organizations to ensure the movement that he inspired continues beyond his candidacy. Now, what are your honest thoughts about that?
It's about relevance. Candidates like Bernie Sanders need that. So Howard Dean went through the same thing in 2004. Gary Hart in 1984. The idea that we've started a movement, we need to keep this alive. There is an opportunity now for Sanders to become a more significant player in national politics, probably as a Democrat. I haven't really heard any discussion of that, whether he sees himself now as staying within the party or not. But he will develop, much like Howard Dean did, an organization or organizations that will help to promote that. I was surprised that one of them was a political action committee, though, tell you the truth. That didn't seem quite Sanders-like.
Do you agree with analysts who say that partly, or maybe some would say mostly thanks to Sanders, the Democrats have an unprecedented liberal platform?
It is pretty liberal. He got some wins. I think some of the wins were more how we get there than what we get to. The education, free education thing is an example. I think that Clinton did move a little bit closer to him in terms of putting it higher up on the priorities list. But what she was concerned about was that there be an upper income limit, and there is. So there was some real compromising going on there. And I think we have to give credit to Weaver, Sanders' campaign manager, and Robbie Mook, who's running the Clinton. Now, both from Vermont, so they know each other. They've known each other for years. So I think that had a lot to do with how this all came out.
There was a lot of culture war language in this proposed GOP platform. What does that tell us?
No, it tells us that that remains really central to, I think, the Republican self-identity as we go into this. I think particularly around LGBT issues. I mean, really some strong language there. And it's interesting because in many ways this was the one area where Trump really didn't carve out a conservative stance over the course of the campaign. And there were some attempts to soften some of the language, but each and every one of them failed. And in some ways, the stuff got stricter, more strident. Mm-hmm. The bathroom issue is in there now. Adoption is in there more strongly. There's a lot of stuff in there that really feeds the beast, if you will, of the Christian right wing.
Greg, a big question is how closely the Republican Party can align itself with its nominees' positions. We saw quite a bit of that happening in the platform committee. Does that help predict how the convention is likely to go?
We're really seeing that play out already by the number of folks who won't be there. It's a matter of optics in a way, I think, not being at the convention, not appearing with him, not having a picture of your Senate candidate with Donald Trump's arm around him or her is something these folks, that, you know, Kelly, the last thing Kelly Ayotte from New Hampshire wants is that picture to be used in the campaign and many others as well. So I think there's an optics issue here that people are trying to avoid. In terms of positions, issue positions, this has been going on since Trump announced his candidacy. Mm-hmm. So it's just part of the zeitgeist now, I guess. It's just there. Yeah.
What are the really big unanswered questions that you'll be keeping an eye on in the next few weeks?
The tenor of the Republican convention is going to be extremely important. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump is in charge of this thing. And we've heard all kinds of crazy things. He's bringing a whole bunch of sports figures, most of whom have said they weren't interested in being there. Ted Cruz is speaking. I don't think any of the other presidential candidates from the cycle are speaking. Mm-hmm. The two Bushes are not planning to be there. So what are they going to do? What's the tenor of this thing going to be like? Mm-hmm. The Republicans have gone off the rails in terms of tenor once or twice in the past at their conventions. It's going to be interesting to see. Usually there's a bump that comes out mm-hmm. of these things. We'll see whether there is or not.
Would it be unfair for me to say that a lot of the people who are supporters of Trump are not people that you would usually think of even watching the convention? And I'm wondering whether or not the convention is a time for trying to placate some of the party members that want a convention without Trump compromising too much on his traditional language and attitude to lose voters.
That's what the party leaders would like. That's what Paul Manafort would like. Mm-hmm. It's unclear whether Donald Trump cares. That's the internal struggle, I think, that's going on. There's no question that from the point of view of the leadership, the point of view of Trump's campaign manager, Manafort, this is what they want to see. This is the big opportunity. This is when most Americans will get a chance to actually be, I would say, introduced, but reintroduced to each of these candidates mm-hmm. At their conventions. It doesn't fit in to the way Trump operates to do that. So who knows? I mean, and even when he tries, he seems to reach a point where the rubber band snaps and off he goes. So I think it remains to be seen. But that's what the party leadership would like this convention to do.
Is there one question that you'd maybe like to ask each presidential candidate that would help clarify important areas of concern for the many voters who feel at a loss for an acceptable choice this election year?
Yeah. The real issue is the fact that both of these candidates are historically underwater in terms of popularity in this country. So the question has to be built around that. How do you understand this in the context of your candidacy? What does it mean? And how do we move forward to mm-hmm. fix that? This is really what's turning this thing on its edge. And, it's possible that come November we will see some states flipping in both directions from where they've been. Pennsylvania going red, for example, mm-hmm. Arizona going blue. We can see some really unusual things, but a lot of this has to do with all of these issues playing out in the context of these historically high levels mm-hmm. of dissatisfaction among voters with the two candidates.
Greg LaBelle is Assistant Professor of Political Management at George Washington University, where he is the Director of the Semester in Washington Politics Program. Gosh, I've always thought I would love to have been in your class, at least at some point. A veteran of several presidential campaigns, Greg's also a veteran of several leadership positions at the Interfaith Alliance. Greg and I are planning to spend a lot of time together in the next couple of weeks bringing you analysis of what happens at both national conventions, both on the air and online. Greg, thanks so much for coming in today and being with us on State of Belief Radio. Take a deep breath, and I will see you soon.
Thanks, Weldon. I am looking forward to the next few weeks with you.